Recording.
All right, thank you, and we are back in session. We're moving to section three, number one. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Carla Lombana, DVM, in case number 2255. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it in ARS 322234. Dr. Lombana, you are on the phone, and your counsel is sitting at the table here. So please introduce yourself and counsel.
Certainly. My name is Dr. Carla Lombana, and thank you for having me telephonically.
And David Stoll appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Lombana.
All right, thank you. Dr. Lombana, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer the matter for a formal hearing. The purpose of this interview today is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you'd like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional material.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. Additionally, we do not have a court reporter today, so please identify yourself before you make a comment as a board member. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. And this is Dr. Nosley. If you could please give us a brief summary of the case.
Okay, thank you. On August 9, 2021, Crispin, an 8-year-old male German Shepherd mix, was presented to the respondent for an exam. The complainant reported the dog had eaten embroidery string 1 month to 2 weeks prior. It was further reported that the dog had passed some of the string. Radiographs were performed. There was no obvious evidence of foreign body noted by the respondent or the radiologist. The respondent recommended follow-up with an ultrasound with or referral to an internal medicine specialist. And on August 12, 2021, an ultrasound was eventually scheduled to be performed by a mobile sonographer, and the ultrasound showed evidence of renal changes but no confirmation of a foreign body. And on August 16, 2021, the dog underwent emergency surgery for a foreign body removal. Later that evening, the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for continued care. The following day, the dog was humanely euthanized.
All right, thank you. Dr. Lombana, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, thank you. Dr. Lombana, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you very much. On April 5th, 2022, the investigative committee unanimously recommended that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. I understand that during the review on May 18th, you moved this case to an informal interview because you had some additional questions regarding what transpired in this case. Before addressing your questions, I want to again extend my sympathies to Ms. Naig for her loss of Crispin and state that foreign body cases like this can be challenging. On the one hand, you don't want to rush a patient into an invasive abdominal exploratory surgery and then find there is no foreign body and that the surgery was unnecessary. On the other hand, I have and do not hesitate to refer a patient for an exploratory surgery when we have either confirmation or a substantial likelihood of a foreign body that cannot be removed or addressed by non-surgical methods. Those were considerations that guided the advice that I gave in this case. On August 2nd, 2021, I worked as a relief vet at University Pet Clinic when Kristen presented because of a concern regarding diarrhea and vomiting. I took a history from the owner that included gastrointestinal sensitivity and bouts of GI discomfort, so vomiting and diarrhea were not unusual. I specifically asked the owner about the possibility of a foreign body ingestion during this initial visit, and the owner said she was unaware of any, but that Kristen may have gotten some table scraps from her grandchildren. At no time during this visit did the owner say anything whatsoever about Kristen having ingested strength. I did not return to this practice again until a week later on August 9th, 2021. Although I was not scheduled to see Kristen again, I asked the technicians at the practice that day how he had done following the appointment the prior Monday. When I was told he was still not eating regularly, I proactively asked the technicians to call the owner to ask if she could bring Kristen in for a recheck exam. I saw him later that day, and it was at this time that the owner told me Kristen had ingested string approximately one month prior. She also told me that Kristen had passed the string and had not vomited the last week and a half. She said nothing to me about having cut the string from the dog's rectum. Based upon his continued poor appetite and new information, I appropriately recommended abdominal radiographs, which revealed no evidence of a foreign body, and so I did not recommend immediate exploratory abdominal surgery, but it was discussed as a possibility during my conversations with the owner. I also recommended that the x-rays be sent out for a consult with a board-certified radiologist to get a second opinion. The next day, August 10th, 2021, I received the radiology consult report, which you have. The report concluded, and I quote, that there were, quote, no obvious gastrointestinal foreign bodies or mechanical obstruction. At this point, it would have been medically inappropriate for me to put Kristen through a potentially life-threatening exploratory surgery. I called the owner the same day that the consult report was received, conveyed the findings, which reaffirmed my interpretation of the x-rays, and given the owner's continued concerns, I recommended follow-up ultrasound imaging and or a referral to internal medicine specialist. She elected an abdominal ultrasound. When the owner wanted an ultrasound for Kristen, it was extremely difficult to get one here in Tucson. The wait times were weeks long, and as the owner noted in her June 9th, 2022 statement, that was due to COVID and to a shortage of veterinarians in the Tucson area. Although I didn't have to, I personally started making phone calls for the owner and with a number of imaging facilities until I was able to get her an appointment for an ultrasound 2 days later on August 12th, 2021. I really went out of my way to help this owner and Kristen get an ultrasound scheduled. In any event, the ultrasound was done on August 12th, 2021, and the ultrasound showed some evidence of renal changes, but no confirmation of a foreign body. This was consistent with the radiographs that I took and with the radiology consult report. Had either of these diagnostics showed evidence of a foreign body or obstruction, I would have referred the owner for exploratory surgery. As I stated in my response, I firmly believe that I handled this case appropriately based on the information that was available to me at the time. I am now available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Lombana. We'll start off with Dr. Nosley, since you are the head of the case.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Dr. Lombana. This is Dr. Nosley. I'd like to focus in on the 8-9 visit. And just to be clear, could you outline the discussion that you had with the owner at the time she showed you the example of the embroidered thread, the bobbin, and the piece that she obtained from Kristen?
Certainly. So we discussed string foreign bodies as potentially being very serious and in many cases warranting abdominal surgery, as they can cause glycation and a number of different serious complications. We also discussed the timeline in that the hope was with Kristen ingesting the strings potentially like a month prior to this visit that he'd actually already passed it. So taking the x-rays, I wanted to confirm that there was some reason to move ahead either with a surgical explorer or with other medical treatment.
Okay, so you're saying there was no discussion about cutting the string off of the dog's anus?
Correct.
And Did the owner say anything about there must be a large amount of material left in Crispin? Do you recall her making that comment?
We were both concerned about potential remaining, which is why we wanted to go to imaging to see if there was anything that was remaining in there. And with the confirmation of x-ray as well as ultrasound, I felt comfortable that we were not dealing with a foreign body cause for the prolonged vomiting, but secondary renal complications.
Okay. After the radiographs were taken and interpreted with no significant findings, at that time, considering the symptoms the dog was experiencing and the history of possible foreign material in the dog, and the third thing, by your examination notes, you indicated that Crispin had, at this point, a painful abdomen. So, with those three things, were you concerned about the delay in getting an abdominal ultrasound?
Go ahead. Yes, absolutely. I discussed that the optimum thing for Crispin would be a referral where he could be hospitalized and monitored. And that wasn't an option, really, for the owner. She discussed restrictions and that most of the referral centers were not able to take care credit. And so as Crispin was at that point fairly stable, I did the best I could to try and find an abdominal ultrasound that wasn't scheduled 3 weeks out. But we did discuss referring on to internal medicine or on to another facility for hospitalization due to his kind of prolonged condition and the prolonged vomiting and appetence and discomfort and stuff through his abdomen. That was absolutely discussed.
Yeah. So could you describe the abdomen at that point? Your notation of painful, and you said in just one area or two areas, and there's a big difference between slightly painful or uncomfortable to very painful. So where in that range would you consider your findings of the abdominal palpation?
Certainly. So on the initial presentation, there really wasn't any discomfort on the second. On the ninth, it seemed just more firm through the abdomen, like he was almost kind of tensing against it, and more so on the left side, seemed more uncomfortable, but certainly not that wincing type of pain, you know, kind of on a gradable scale, probably like a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. But it's, as you're all aware, it can be challenging to, I wish we could ask him, right? How much does this really hurt?
So. Oh, okay, thank you. Does the hospital you were working at the time have the capability of doing contrast upper GI, or we also refer to that as a barium study?
Oh, certainly. I believe so, although I'm not, I personally haven't done one there, but I believe that they would have a contrast imaging ability. Yes.
Be able to do that. Okay. And I think you said, just to be clear, you did discuss exploratory surgery with the owner at the 8-9 visit?
Correct.
Okay. Just a couple more things. After the euthanasia, did you ever have any direct conversation with the owner, or that was all that through an intermediary?
Correct. I did not have any direct communication with Ms. Naig after euthanasia.
And last question, were you part of the discussions in the clinic regarding the decision to refund the cost of the surgery? Were you part of that discussion?
With the practice manager, we were kind of all on a group. I'm sorry, what was that?
I meant with the practice manager, the responsible veterinarian, the people involved. Were you involved in the decision to refund the cost of the surgery?
No, I was not involved in the decision.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
I may have missed it in your questions, but I just want clarity around on the ultrasound. When the ultrasonographer came in to do the ultrasound, was the history of the string apparent?
To the ultrasound?
To the ultrasonographer.
There's a lot of confusion regarding that. It is certainly not on the paperwork. It is for the radiograph, maybe possibly eight string. For the ultrasound, it is not listed. However, there was a verbal communication between the doctor and the ultrasound person that about string. Later on, the ultrasound person said that I didn't really evaluate it as if there was a string.
Dr. Lombana, could you describe kind of, is that having done ultrasounds before, you know, the history is critical and what you're looking at, and I just don't know how well the sonographer was informed of the potential for this to be a foreign body.
Certainly. So when Darcy arrived at the hospital, I was in another exam room with another patient that made sure that I went back to discuss the case with her. I verbally gave her the history that he'd been inappetent with vomiting since his initial presentation on the second, and did inform her that there was a strange foreign body possibility. Also gave her the full Ankara report from the radiologist.
So you think it was very clear that she knew you were having this ultrasound done to try and figure out if there was a foreign body?
I was having this ultrasound done to obviously to check to see if there was a foreign body that wasn't obvious on x-rays, but also figure out why this patient was still vomiting and inappetent. Right, there's multiple differentials for vomiting and inappetence in this patient, so I wanted to make sure we had as much information as possible. So it was certainly something that I brought up, but I also wanted to hopefully have some answers for these owners and some medical direction as to what we could do next to make him feel better.
I don't have any additional.
Does anybody else have any additional questions? All right. Thank you, Dr. Lombana. No, we do not have a complaint here today, then.
Yes.
Oh, we do. Oh, I'm sorry. We just didn't have one on the paper. Okay.
No, it's on the paper.
But okay. All right. That's okay. So we have a complainant for this case. If you would like to come forward, we will now hear from you. Please introduce yourself.
Carrie Nag.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Nag. I would now like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right. Thank you. And are you the complainant in this case?
Yes.
Okay. We have read through all the materials that you provided. You may now address the board.
I would like to correct some things I just heard when Dr. Zimbabwe was talking. The last time I talked to her was on Tuesday when she was calling me to schedule the ultrasound. I never heard back from her after that. I did originally take him in for throwing up. He had a history of doing that. He would stop eating for whatever reason, and he would get diarrhea and throw up, and I would take him in and they would give him the, I can't remember the names of it, but the nausea medicine and the one that coats the intestines, starts with an M. And then he would be fine. So when I originally took him in on the, I think it was the second, it was just the normal routine thing we did with Crispin. I never knew why. And so she had asked about whether or not he'd eaten anything, and I said, not that I know of. And then on the fifth was when he was outside and he had pooped, and we noticed the string hanging out of him. And so I called on the 5th, and that was a Thursday, and they couldn't get him in till Monday, so we already had a delay on treating him. And so when I went in to see her, I said, you know, it's kind of knotted up, so you can't really tell how much of it. But when you're talking 16 yards of string, this is not 16 yards. And I said, I cut it off at his butt. I know you're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to yank it. And so I said, all the rest of this is still in there. I told her that. I showed her, you know, it was the one that I saw them passing around. It wasn't this green one. But, and I said that the thing is plastic and there's all this string in there. And so I know it's in there. I am positive it's in there because I know what this is and we had this go missing. I did not want the ultrasound. I thought it was stupid, to be blunt. She did an x-ray first and she said, wow, he looks good. And I thought, yippee, we can save him because he's not damaged. The string hasn't sawn through his intestines yet. I was excited about that. She never, ever discussed surgery with me because I would have been all for it, go for it. Because I'm telling her, I know this is in my dog. Here's the proof, it already came out. I know this is within him. And I said to her, I need this dog. He is a helper dog for my other dog. We adore him, but we need this dog. And I said, clearly, do whatever you gotta do to save my dog. I need this dog. And she also never discussed referring him. I would have done anything to save Crispin. I needed it. After the x-rays showed that there was no damage yet, she said the next step is an ultrasound. And I'm like, this stuff doesn't show on the x-ray and the ultrasound. And she said, well, that's what we have to find out, where the damage is and what damage has been done. It didn't make sense to me, but I'm not a vet. I don't have a vet degree. I counted on her. If I could have taken Crispin somewhere else, I would have. You could not get into a vet. You still have trouble getting into a vet. We have friends that had a dog that was injured and crying, and vets wouldn't see him. Even the ER vets. You call, and they say, unless it's been hit by a car, is actively like bleeding to death, or it's been mauled by another dog or something, nope, can't get in. It was a very frustrating time, and it's still going on in Tucson. I'm not aware if it's going on here or not, but there were no other choices. It was her. We counted on her to save him.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
Yes. So I'm going to use your terminology with the string and Crispin. And so on the day that you cut the string off the butt, you immediately called the clinic.
Yes.
Did you?
Oh, yes.
Did you tell the receptionist about cutting the string off the butt?
I did. I said I was wrong. He did eat something. I was horribly wrong. He ate string, a whole lot of string. I said, we have a huge problem. And she said, well, the first opening was Monday.
Yeah, yeah. Did you use the terms cut? Did you tell her you cut it off?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know that is a huge thing.
Yeah, sure. And on that day that you cut the string, you didn't get an appointment for 4 days, and you discussed at the time you were very concerned, and you, did you call actual ER at that point?
I don't recall. Okay. I knew I couldn't get in.
Well, I guess that's my question, and I agree totally with your description of the circumstances right now, but. Did you assume you couldn't get help from the ER or versus actual attempts?
Well, I called on my other dogs and their words were, unless your dog is actively bleeding, been hit by a car, mauled by a dog, actively dying, no.
Sure, okay. On the 8-9 visit, when you showed the doctor, you're in the room now with the doctor, the example and the piece of string, you had both of those.
Oh, yeah. I had, yeah, this and then the one that you have.
So could you, again, I know this is very repetitive, but could you tell me specifically in your words, as best as you recall them, what you said to the doctor about the strain, the butt, and the amount in him?
Okay, when she entered, I said, oh my gosh, we could not have been more wrong. He did eat something. And it's this string. And I said, we lost it. I said, we couldn't remember if it was like, you know, somewhere between 2 weeks and a month prior. Never found it. Had no idea that he'd eaten it. And I held up the other sample. And the problem why there's a separate thing is because the string is actually on a paper bobbin. And he actually ate a plastic bobbin. Okay. We knew that.
I understood.
And to me, that was different because the paper could just disintegrate.
Sure.
And so I said, the reason why we figured out what was in there was because I cut this off at his butt.
You said those words.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. I said, I cut this off at his butt. So we know the rest of it, minus this much, is in there.
It's in there.
I said, I know it's in there.
Okay. On the 8-12 visit, when you got the ultrasound, and Crispin was dropped off, your daughter specifically said,
yep.
Again, the record says 8-string. Did she say cut it off his butt and go into that?
I don't know. You have to ask her.
Okay, that's fair. And then one other question. I read in your narrative that you had some discussions with Dr. Adams.
Yes.
Who did the surgery.
Yes.
Correct? And you, the two of you discussed surgery?
Yes.
Timeliness of the surgery, if
yes.
You will. Do you recall her words at that point was, you know, I can define what I'm looking for. Did she say, I wished it would have been done sooner, or it should have been done sooner?
It should have
because
been
there's
done sooner.
There's a difference that
yeah.
We all wish.
She said, why wasn't he operated on last week?
She said, that
yes.
Was her.
And she said, I've got to talk to the others. Because she thought, how did that go? She thought someone else was taking care of my, if I recall correctly, but, or she was confused
Dr.
on the
Merkel.
Order of which doctors had
Dr. been. Merkel or
Merker, yeah.
Merker was involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I said, I can't remember, but I know the one I talked to at this point was different than this doctor. But she said, I need to talk to them. But she said, why wasn't this dog operated on when you came in? She said, you know, anybody that says to me confidently, I know this is in my dog, I believe them. You know your dog.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a brief question. Can you estimate how much of the, is that embroidery thread?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How much of it remained after you cut off? How much remained in the
dog? Well, this little wad here is what he
right.
Has.
Yeah.
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 So I don't.
Out of, what?
Out of 16 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How? I mean, there's, I don't know, not even a yard there, I don't think.
Okay. So a substantial amount
oh, yes.
Remained in the dog.
Oh, yes.
Thanks.
Okay, does anybody else, have any questions for the complainant? All right, if you can step back, please, thank you. And Dr. Lombana, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
Her legal counsel does, and then perhaps Dr. Lombana does as well. This is not the first he said, she said case that the board has. And in that situation, the board typically looks to the medical record, so I hope that you do that in this case. The owner was just emphatic about never having been offered a referral. If you look at the medical record for the appointment on August the 9th, and I'm reading, this is from the conclusions and recommendations section of the medical record. On the basis, and this is what Dr. Lombana put in the medical record, on the basis of this exam, it is likely that this patient would benefit from an internal medicine consultation. Please consider further consultation with an Ankura internalist who who can provide additional direction regarding diagnostic evaluation and therapy for this patient. To obtain an internal medicine consultation through Oncura, submit a new consult with an internal medicine service or contact customer service for more information. So a referral clearly was made. And you heard Dr. Limbaugh and her testimony say that there may have been financial constraints because the owner was apparently on care credit. So that would, in her defense, would have restricted her ability to take the doctor's advice and go for a referral specialist. Also, in the communications record, there's no record whatsoever about the owner calling and saying anything about the strain. The only time the strain was mentioned was during the appointment on August 9th, and Dr. Bumbama describes the nature of that discussion. Owner reports pet ate strain about a month ago, about 16 yards of strain. There's no mention about strain being cut off. And even the phone calls prior to that, on August 6th, communications record, owner called and said patient has been eating but hasn't defecated all day. No mention about strain or cutting the strain. In retrospect, Dr. Obama handled this case appropriately. Given the dog's history, it was appropriate for her to consider the possibility of a foreign body obstruction. But as you all know, you don't rush a dog immediately into surgery based on a mere suspicion of a foreign body. I've defended numerous cases here before the board where the complainants filed a complaint because an exploratory surgery was recommended, was performed, and no foreign body was found. In some of those cases, this board has found that veterinarians were grossly negligent in performing exploratory surgeries that were not justified based on pre-op diagnostics and confirmation of a foreign body. In this case, Dr. Limbaugh appropriately recommended abdominal x-rays. She read the x-rays and found no evidence of an obstruction or foreign body that would justify making a surgical recommendation. She could have stopped there, but Dr. Limbaugh went the extra mile. She had those x-rays sent out for a consult with a board-certified internal radiologist, or board-certified radiologist. The radiologist reached the exact same conclusion and interpretation as Dr. Limbaugh. This is what the Oncura radiology consult report says, quote unquote, no obvious gastrointestinal foreign bodies or mechanical obstruction. Dr. Limbaugh could have stopped there, but she didn't. When she was advised for the first time on August 9th that the owner now believed the dog had possibly ingested a month prior this strain, she recommended abdominal ultrasound and a referral to an internal medicine specialist. That's noted in the record. The owner's comments aside about ultrasounds being worthless, they are an invaluable diagnostic tool for veterinarians. And in that regard, Dr. Limbaugh went above and beyond the call on that ultrasound referral. You may have read the owner's supplemental submission to her complaint that was received last week. It's basically a diatribe on the shortage of veterinarians in Tucson and the inability for clients and the general public to get timely appointments. Dr. Limbaugh personally got on the phone and started calling people to try to get in an ultrasound appointment sooner rather than later because she knew time was of the essence. She got the appointment within 2 days, in the words of the complainant, she even admits in her complaint that Dr. Limbaugh pulled some strings to get a timely ultrasound. Dr. Limbaugh should be commended for that. She didn't have to do that. She got the ultrasound appointment for August 12, 2021, perhaps weeks earlier than if the owner had to do that on her own. In the history that the owner gave when she presented for the ultrasound, she reported that the owner was, quote unquote, optimistic that the dog had passed all of the strain he had ingested, which if it had been in there for a month, there could have been strain being passed periodically without anyone knowing. The ultrasound was done on that day and is set forth in the ultrasound report, and I quote, there is no evidence of underlying neoplasm, foreign material, or obstructive patterns. So again, there was no diagnostic confirmation of a foreign body or obstruction to support an exploratory surgery. Throughout her care of this dog, Dr. Limbaugh made appropriate medical recommendations based on the findings of the diagnostic tests that were performed. And we submit that the investigative committee was correct when they unanimously recommended that this complaint be dismissed with no violation. Thank you. Dr. Lombama, you may have some comments, but I just have a couple questions for you. Did the owner ever tell you that she was positive that all the string was still in the dog?
I'm sorry, my phone cut out for a second. Did she ever tell me that she was positive that what?
Did the owner ever tell you, quote unquote, I'm positive it's in him, referring to the string?
No.
Did she ever tell you that all of the rest of this is inside him?
No.
Thank you. Do you have any other closing comments?
I just wanted to clarify one final piece. She started off saying that I never called her or followed up again after that Tuesday communication on the 10th, which is true, because within that communication, I reminded her that I was at university under a relief basis, and I was going to be transferring the case onto Dr. Merker. So I didn't intend on following up with her at any other point as a relief veterinarian. That's generally what I do, is refer back to one of the doctors that's there on staff regularly.
And
so,
Dr. Lombama, just for clarification, you did work at the University Pet Hospital as a relief vet in this case, correct?
Correct, yeah. I work at several throughout the area, mostly because of the needs that we're all so well aware of. Veterinarians are burnout and limited, so I do the best that I can to get into as many clinics as I can to do relief work to help alleviate some of that burden as often as I possibly can.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. Are there any more questions from board members? So I do just have one clarification question real quick. Going back to the Oncura Partners report, is Oncura Partners part of the hospital? Is that any kind of like parent company to this hospital or any way financially involved, or are they just a consulting firm?
They're just a consulting. That's where they send the radiographs out to be read.
Okay, so it's not a parent company of the hospital?
It is not. No, the hospital is independently owned.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? All right, thank you. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.